Welcome back. We are learning with Masechta Psachim. This is Shlomo Schwartz. We're in the middle of Perek Beis and up to Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah talks about somebody who ate truma that was chametz on Pesach. And Mishnah says, "Ochel trumas chametz bePesach." If somebody happens to eat truma that is chametz on Pesach, and the way that it became chametz is either he took off truma on Pesach and it became chametz on Pesach, or he took off the chametz, the truma, before Pesach and it was left over. So the Mishnah says, b'shogeg, if it was unintentionally, if it was by mistake, because he did not realize that it was truma, mishalem keren v'chomesh, he has to pay the full amount of the truma, and he also has to pay on top of that a fifth. However, b'mezid, if he ate the truma's chametz on purpose, intentionally, knowing that it was truma, pater mitashlumin, he is not obligated to pay. And the Bar Tanura explains, based on the Gemara, that we learn out that tashlumin, payment, for someone who eats truma, b'shogeg, the pasuk says v'nasan l'kohen es hakodesh, that person who ate the truma has to give to the kohen es hakodesh, and we darshan, the rabbis interpret es hakodesh meaning that you have to give as compensation something that can become kodesh, which means if you ate a food item, fruit or tefuah, then you have to give in return as compensation fruit or tefuah. You cannot give money. And therefore, even though the issue at hand here is that chametz on Pesach has no value, because as we've explained previously, it's asur ba'achila and it's asur ba'hanah, so it has absolutely no worth, because the pasuk tells us that you have to pay with something that is ro lies kodesh. So the means of payment here is not a monetary payment or compensation. You have to provide, you have an obligation to provide something that can become kodesh, so therefore you have to provide peiros or tefuah. That's if you did a b'shogeg. However, if you ate the truma knowing it was truma b'mezid, so then he's considered a goslin, he's considered a thief, and then what he is paying effectively is considered compensation that can be paid with money, and that this is a monetary loss. Since it's being viewed as a monetary loss and you don't have the pasuk of b'nasan l'kohen es hakodesh, so then we default to the fact that chametz on Pesach has no value, because it has no value, he effectively did not cause any loss, and that's why if he ate this trumas chametz on Pesach b'mezid, he does not have to pay anything. So here we have a case where if he did something b'shogeg, you would have to pay because of the pasuk that we darshan. Whereas if he did the same thing b'mezid, you would end up being scot-free in terms of payment. Then the Mishnah adds on the next two words, umid me etzim. You would also be potter if you ate the trumas chametz b'mezid. You'd be potter even from paying a minimal value, which would be the value if you would use the trumas chametz that you ate as firewood. Even that minimal value, you would not be obligated to pay. Now, the Kahati, Mishnayis Mavuaris, brings down that the chiddush here of Midmei Eitzim is that even though Truma Tahora, you're only allowed to use either to eat, drink, or to anoint with, to smear, you cannot use it for firewood. So what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? You wouldn't be allowed to use Truma anyway for firewood. So of course you wouldn't have to pay that minimal loss. So the Tosfos Yom Tov brings down, the Rashi and the Bar Tanur bring down that the chiddush of our Mishnah is that even Truma Tameya, which Truma Tameya you would be allowed to use as firewood, even Truma Tameya you would be potter on paying the value, the minimal value of Dmei Eitzim. Because again, since when you cause the damage, b'mezid, we're talking about a monetary loss, and there is no monetary loss because effectively the chametz is asur ba'achila and hana on Pesach. So therefore, b'mezid, you would not have to pay a thing. That is basically Mishnah Dalet. Let's move on to Mishnah Hay. Mishnah Hay starts describing the mitzvah of matzah. We know that one of the mitzvahs of Pesach night, that is min haTorah even today, is the mitzvah of achilas matzah. And the Mishnah here addresses what type of materials, what type of food can be, food substance can be used to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. What is the basic ingredient for matzah? So the Mishnah tells us, Eilu dvarim she'adam yotze behem yidei chavasa. The following five ingredients can be used to fulfill the obligation of Pesach of matzah. Number one, bechitim. If you make matzah from wheat and water. Besorim, with barley. Bakusmin, made out of spelt. Bashifon is rye. Uvishibola shul is oats. So those are the five grains. If you make it with any one of the five grains, then you're yotze the mitzvah of matzah. If you make it from another grain that's not one of the five grains, like for example, if you made it out of rice, you would not be yotze. And the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, because the pasuk says in Devarim, it says lo sochal olav chametz, you should not eat chametz. Shivas yamim tochal olav matzis, 7 days you should eat matzis. And because the Torah juxtaposes the chametz with the matzah in the same breath, the rabbis learn out that only something that can become chametz is appropriate to use for the ingredients of making matzah. Something that cannot become chametz cannot be used to fulfill the obligation of eating matzah. So therefore, it's only the five grains, not rice or any other grain. Then the Mishnah gets into some technicalities on the status of the matzah. And in certain cases, because of the restrictions upon eating this matzah, or because, forgetting about restrictions, it would be usher to eat the matzah for other reasons, you would not be yotze the mitzvah. So the Mishnah goes on and tells you, v'yotzim v'demai. If the matzah happens to be in a status of demai, you would still be yotze the mitzvah of matzah. What is demai? Demai is actually a contraction. The word demai is a contraction of da mai, in Aramaic, which means da mai, what is this? The rabbis tell us that if you purchase food from an Amoritz, we're not sure if the Amoritz gave Meiser. We're suspect of the Amoritz of maybe not giving Meiser, and therefore Misafek, the Rabbanan call this Demai. Demai, we're not sure whether or not Meiser was taken, and therefore you should give Meiser. Nevertheless, even if you did not give Meiser, and this Demai has a questionable status, because Demai is edible to poor people without taking Meiser, it's therefore considered as having a status of being edible, and therefore can be used to fulfill the obligation of achilas matzah. So Mishnah says v'yotzim b'demai, you can be yotze the matzah even though it's demai and maaser was not taken. Uv'maaser rishon shenitl trumasa, and maaser rishon that truma was taken off of. Uv'maaser sheni v'hekdish sheniftu, and a maaser sheni or hekdish that was redeemed. The case over here is maaser sheni and hekdish we know has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. And if by instead of taking it to Yerushalayim, he redeemed the food with money and took the money to Yerushalayim, so then he effectively redeemed this food, the Maaser Sheni and Hekdish, the matzah, and therefore can eat it and fulfill his obligation of matzah. Had he not redeemed the Maaser Sheni and Hekdish, then he would not be allowed to eat it to fulfill his obligation of eating matzah, which we'll see listed at the end of the Mishnah. V'kohanim b'chala uv'truma, and the Kohen who receives chala or truma, he can use this challah or truma that he received to fulfill his obligation of matzah. What's the chiddush? It's his. Why shouldn't he be allowed to eat it to fulfill his obligation of matzah? So the Gemara explains that the Mishnah is telling us the chiddush, that even though this truma or challah is not something that is roi, that is appropriate for anybody to eat, it's only the kohen that can eat it, not a zar, not somebody who is not a kohen from the priesthood. Nevertheless, because it's roi for the kohen to eat, even if it's not roi for everybody else to eat, the kohen can fulfill his obligation with this challah or truma and use it for matzah. Avalo batevel, but you cannot use matzah to fulfill the obligation if this matzah has a status of tevel. Tevel is not a suffix. Tevel is what we know for a fact. Marsa was not taken off. Veloba maserishin shalanitla trumasa, or maserishin where truma was not taken off. Veloba maser sheni vehekta shalaniftu. And as we mentioned earlier, also you could not use maser sheni or hegdish that was not redeemed, because the Gemara explains that it has to be, all of these things are considered a mitzvah haba b'aveira. Then the Mishnah continues, Chalas Toda Urkike Nazir. We know that there are certain karbanas where loaves of bread or matzah were brought with this to accompany the carbon. With the Toda, we mentioned that there are 40 loaves, and then Urkike Nazir, and there were Urkikim that were brought with the carbon of the Nazir. So here, the issue is, can you use these loaves, not chametz of course, of matzah, can you use this matzah to be mekayim the mitzvah? And the Gemara tells us that there's a pasuk that says ushmartim es hamatzos, and you should keep and watch the matzos. And the Gemara darshins, the rabbis tell us matzah hamishtameres l'shem matzah, that the matzah has to be prepared and designated for matzah. If you have matzah that's designated for another purpose, for a carbon, for example, with the Toda or the Nazir, that matzah was not designated for the purpose of matzah, it was designated for a carbon, and therefore you'd not be allowed to use it to fulfill your obligation of eating matzah. However, the Mishnah tells us that in the case of Chalos, Toda, or Kike Nazir, it depends. Ason la'atzmai, if you had the bread prepared for your own personal carbon, whether it's a carbon Toda or carbon Nazir, then ein yosir behen, because it was designated not for matzah but for a carbon, then you cannot be yotza, fulfill your obligation of eating matzah with this matzah. However, asan limkar b'shuk, what if you prepared this matzah not to bring as part of your personal carbon, but in order to sell it to people who would need it for their carbon? So then, since you're obviously going to make a certain amount not knowing how much will be used up, and the intent is that whatever is not used up by people who want to purchase it to accompany their carbon, that you would use the leftover, the excess for yourself. And since that is the understanding and assumption, that is not considered designated as for carbon, because we don't really know at the time it was made how much of it, or which of these matzahs will go towards a carbon and which will not. And since those that remain would become his personal property to do with as he pleases, that would be okay in using to fulfill the obligation of matzah. So, whereas if he made it for himself as part of the carbon in yotzin behen, he would not be owed to the obligation of matzah. Ason limkar b'shuk, if he made it to sell it in the marketplace for people to buy, so then yotzin ben, he would be yotze because it's not considered designated l'shem carbon, and the understanding is that whatever's left he's going to use for his own personal use. This ends today's second Mishnah. We will continue Amir Tashem tomorrow with Mishnah Vav.